Good morning, Doug.
Congressman of the 16th Congressional District. I hope your throat's a little better.
It's been a little bit better. A lot of shouting this past week.
I would say, but I heard, let's start something really positive. I heard, and I assume you were on the floor of the House when Gabby Gifford walked in.
It was great. It was totally, obviously, totally a surprise. And the speaker actually walked her in, and she was immediately surrounded as soon as we saw her. I mean, people were on their feet just jumping up and down and screaming and crying and clapping, and it was awesome. It was a very bright moment in what's been a lot of shouting and bickering in Washington. We're just thrilled to see Gabby back. I don't know if she'll be returning for regular business after Labor Day, but just the mere fact that she walked in on her own power and wore her congressional pin and took out her voting card and voted, I mean, that's just magnificent.
Well, considering what she went through, and Democrat, Republican, Independent, that goes by the boards when you think about somebody that, in effect, like a cop, shot in the line of duty. She's doing her thing. You're out there. The president's out there. Gabby's out there. And there's just so much protection people can have. And here's another case of some nutcase shoots her, and that makes you, it gives you pause to the job you and many others do serving our country. The fact that you're in the line of fire of people that are a little crazed.
Well, that may be the case, but obviously it's being a congressman is one thing, but being a law enforcement officer and being in physically in the line of fire and dealing with all those people, that's something else.
Sure.
Goes off to the men and women in blue.
Absolutely. Now, let's get down to cases here. And if you have any questions for Congressman Manzullo, he has relatively limited time this morning. He's in Washington. Our number, 874-TALK, 874-8255. So this plan would immediately increase the debt limit by about $400 billion. The president permitted to order an additional $500 billion. With the House and Senate possibly overriding him. That's the basics. You voted for it. What do you like and not like about the plan?
Well, Doug, first of all, it's the bill is far from perfect.
Yeah.
I would have liked to have seen, obviously, a lot more spending cuts. But you have to, the Republicans control the House of Representatives, but don't control the Senate or the presidency. And so it's having effective control over one-third. And even still, the Democrats and Republicans were divided as to the philosophies. It's amazing what happened. But it sets forth several things. First of all, it keeps us from defaulting on our treasuries and therefore having our U.S. government bonds downgraded from the AAA status. And the importance of that is if those bonds have been degraded, everybody else's bonds would have been degraded because historically, private bonds, private corporate bonds are never rated higher than the government bonds. It would have had a dramatic impact upon municipal bonds, which means that it would have made the cost of borrowing for the federal government and for municipal governments a lot higher, paying a lot more interest, plus would have made the cost of borrowing to the private sector a lot higher. That'd be for credit cards, automobiles, and homes. And the last thing that we need in the midst of this recession is for higher interest rates.
Well, isn't it still possible that it could do that anyway?
Well, Moody's said yesterday that they weren't going to do it.
What about S&P?
I'm not sure where they are, but you know, a lot of it has to do with the commitment to bring down the size of government. Second thing it does, it has realistic breaks upon the government spending machine in Washington, D.C., because it says that a committee made up of six members from each house will have to meet, and seven of those 12 can recommend going to the floor of both the House and the Senate at least $1.2 to $1.5 trillion in additional spending cuts before the president can ask for an additional amount of spending authority to raise the caps up to $2.4 trillion. And what that means is the fact that if the committee's recommendations are not accepted, then there's an automatic what's called sequestration or an automatic cut across the board for everything except Social Security, money to Medicare recipients and care, and Medicaid. And although it would cut up to 2% of reimbursement to physicians and hospitals. So there's a huge incentive for this group of 12 to work together to come up with all types of savings. The third thing it does, it actually does make another step towards reducing the massive debt that we have. You know, you can't attack $14.5 trillion of debt in one bill. I mean, it takes, you know, 5 miles to turn around a carrier at sea, and the it does not increase taxes on the people that are the job creators. Those are the small business people. And lastly, it puts us well on the road towards the states receiving a balanced budget amendment.
All right, we got to hold it. Can you hold on for a couple of minutes while we do our newscast?
Oh, sure.
We'll be right back with Congressman Don Manzullo from Washington on WNTA. We're back on the line at 7:20 in the morning with our Congressman Don Manzullo from Washington. Don, I don't know if you had a chance to look at Sweeney's column in the paper in Rockford today, but he says, quote, "I keep reading that Congress and the White House are dysfunctional. I disagree. They are perfectly functional, operating as our founding fathers intended. We have a representative republic, and our representatives are representing our various views vigorously." Do you agree with that?
Democracies are messy.
Yeah,
they were designed to be messy, but that doesn't mean that you have to have people lobbing personal invectives at each other or saying things that are not true. I mean, let me give you an example. During the debate, former Speaker Pelosi said that Republicans were in the process of closing down nursing homes and throwing old people out into the street. I mean, there's nothing in this bill that even does that. In fact, protects to a great degree Medicare, Social Security, and Medicaid. And so using these scare tactics, that really doesn't help in the argument or in the resolution. But it also polarizes people into different camps. So,
well, you know, I agree with you there, Don. We had calls from senior citizens on this program saying, those Republicans want to keep us senior citizens from getting our Social Security checks. The president said so on TV, and he did. I saw him say that. He used the fear.
Was wrong.
He used the fear tactic, and that I think, was as low as Pelosi can get.
Well, it's not appropriate to make people feel like that, Doug. The problem is this. There is no Social Security trust fund. Not enough revenues were coming in the month of August to meet our debt obligations and the Social Security checks. So there is a real problem that the government has to keep on going in order to generate the revenues, and that sometimes you have to borrow. The problem is that priority programs such as Social Security and Medicare, Congress has to take those into consideration before it starts spending what's called discretionary money. But what the remarkable thing that's happened, since Republicans took control of the House at the beginning of this year, we had to pass what was called a continuing resolution, which was to essentially pass a budget that the Democrats failed to do when they were in control last year. And for the present year, fiscal year, and the next fiscal year, the governor will actually spend less in the present year than it did in the prior years. That's 2 years in a row, and that's the first time that has happened since World War II ended. So these are steps in the right direction to curb the voracious appetite that Washington has to spend. The bottom line is that you have to protect the programs that are important, but there are 10,000 federal programs, 10,000 of them. And everyone has a lobbyist, and you try to end a federal program, that's almost impossible. So what we're seeing here is a real desperate attempt by a new conservative majority in the House of Representatives to essentially save the country from bankruptcy.
How much influence do you give the Tea Party on this whole debate?
Well, they do have a lot of influence. There's a lot of good influence because, I mean, the Tea Party... I mean, first of all, there is no official Tea Party. There are no official leaders. Tea Party is a movement of people like me who are conservatives. And if Washington had voted the same way I have since I've been a member of Congress, Washington wouldn't have the problem today. Because I'm so conservative, I've been consistently rated as the most fiscally conservative member of the Illinois delegation, number one out of 21 members of Congress. Because I just don't believe that it's the job of government to do everything. And that's what we're trying to turn around, trying to turn this carrier in the ocean around to say, look, don't look to the federal government every time you have a problem.
76 degrees at WNTA at 7:25 in the morning. We've got a few more minutes with Don Manzullo, the 16th Congressional District Republican. If you have a quick question, 874-TALK, 874-8255. You want to get through to Don. He's in Washington and a very busy guy. You're pretty sure that the Senate is going to okay this today, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so that's...
We're going to vote, I think, at 11 o'clock.
Now, explain to me why we had to have such a dramatic down-to-the-11th-hour thing on the actual deadline day, allegedly, August 2nd.
Here's what happened.
Yeah.
The president insisted on raising taxes, and he said, he's going to go nowhere. And essentially, he said, it's my way or the highway, and we're going to raise taxes. And a lot of conservative Democrats disagreed with him, and most of the Republicans disagree with them, saying, goodness gracious, in the middle of a recession, the last thing you want to do is raise taxes.
Now,
raise taxes, and that sucks the money out of the private sector.
Isn't that still...
In many cases, the only money that's available for investment.
But, Don, isn't that still on the table for the future? There's a lot of, the devil's in the details. They could still pull that off in the next 8-10 years, whenever.
Well, the so-called Bush tax cuts expire December 31st of 2012. So you can imagine that we're going to have on the floor a bill to extend those tax cuts, and the president's going to be opposing them.
Yeah, we got Jerry on the hotline for you. Jerry, you have a question for Don Manzullo.
Yeah, a couple of questions real quick. Don, how are you doing this morning?
Good morning. How are you, Jerry?
Fine, thank you. Hey, listen, isn't there approximately 60 million people on one type of Social Security or another? And isn't it true, and I'll listen to this question off the air, isn't Social Security for years the money been taken for everything but what it was actually designed for, and that was to pay Social Security checks? And I'll listen off the air, Don.
Yeah, that's correct. Of the $14.5 trillion in debt, you figure this out, the government owes itself about $5.5 trillion, and that's the government for general revenue is borrowing from the so-called Social Security Trust Fund, which to me is immoral, illegal, and whatever else you want to say about that. A true trust fund, Doug, you take money, you set it aside in an account, and no one could ever touch it for any reason whatsoever except for the trusted purpose.
Right.
That doesn't exist for Social Security.
And it should.
And it should.
Yeah.
They have these so-called firewalls where you can't breach from one wall to the other, but that's not how we do our kitchen table economics. You get your paycheck, and many people will take say, look, we need X amount of money for heat and air conditioning and mortgage payments and things like that, and they segregate that money physically by writing the checks and sending them off to the creditors. That doesn't happen in Washington. It's the phony accounting that's gone on that allows this type of thing to take place. That's the type of stuff that has to end.
You've worked hard over your years in office so far to do things for jobs in this area, the Iger Lab, and many other things, and you've worked closely with Dick Durbin, et cetera. What do you think this portends in our future for the next 12 months, let's say, for jobs in Illinois and around this country?
Well, this agreement will actually help jobs. First of all, it gives some type of stability to the system that we have. If you saw in the paper, we're a very, very popular lumber yard and home supplier is ceasing operations. I don't want to give their name because it's embarrassing. But they said that they were doing okay in this very marginal economy until the last 6 weeks, when so much uncertainty came up over the extension of the debt ceiling limit that their phones stopped ringing. And people that would have borrowed money to build decks and do some home remodeling, the phones stopped ringing. And so in marginal businesses, they said that this is really what pushed them under. There was an article in the paper that appeared just a couple of days ago. But this is what financial uncertainty does. when people see the disputes going on, they see the fact that we still have a very weak economy. Those who are going to spend the money simply stop and don't do anything and try to wait it out, and that did in this very popular retailer in Rockford.
Congressman Manzullo, it's been a pleasure. Get back to doing the good things in Washington. All our best to you and Frieda and the kids, and we wish you nothing but success and health, okay?
Same here. Be good.
Thank you, Goodbye. Don. Congressman Don Manzullo, 7:30 News.